How is everybody doing? It's Sunday, May 15th, 2022. I'm John, here with Drew.
You.
And tonight we are going to talk about that indie world. How is everybody doing tonight? Hey, Drew.
What's up, buddy? Hey, well, you know, how you been? You know, we've had a recent podcast together. We've seen a lot of each other lately. It's been a wonderful thing.
We did. We've had some in-betweens where we haven't really seen each other very much, but we did Nintendo Dads on Thursday. And that was a good time. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff, and you didn't quite make it through the whole episode.
You know, was I tired? Yes. But was that the reason I had to sign off? Believe it or not, folks, it was not the reason. Before we get to that, I did an upfront say allergies today are like their all-time peak. I will be muting myself in and out to blow my nose and hopefully not sneeze on the air. If it happens, it's life. You know, you got to deal with it. It's Mother Nature getting back at me for killing all of their creatures.
Yes.
You got to do what you got to do.
Karma's a bitch.
So anyways, I've had a fucking terrible week, John. And you know all about it because I've been filling you in piecemeal by piecemeal of what's been happening. So it all started probably a week and a half ago. Hurt my back. You know, just getting old. You know how it is, right? You're getting old.
You're on the way. You're on the way.
So I tweaked my back. I had to go to the chiropractor three times over the last week. You know, a little bit of heat, a little bit of electricity, a little cracking. Felt good, felt loose. That's how it all started. But what really started the worst of the bad week was Tuesday evening. Because I was craving all day a delicious barbecue burger. We've been like, just, I don't know, me and my wife, you know, just change it up. You know, it's that time of the year, you're grilling. And, you know, we wanted to have barbecue burgers one night. So, you know, I grilled some onions. They came out delicious. So I said, we're going to do that again. So Tuesday night, I said, let's do this again. So grilled my burger, grilled my meal. First bite, John, as I told you.
Oh, first bite. Okay.
Wow. First bite of this burger. I bit my tongue. And when I say I bit my tongue, like we've all bit our tongue, right? Or bit our lip or something like that. No, this was like I bit the side of my tongue and there was like a piece of tongue flesh hanging off. Like gross, right? It was gross. You know, it's one of those things that like when you bite, like you touch your tongue or your lip, like, am I bleeding? And I was like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. So went in the bathroom. It was like a murder scene or somebody on their period, one or the other. But it took me an hour to stop bleeding, right? Like and it's like, what do you do? Like, how do you stop it? You know, my wife's Googling the form. She's like, oh, apply pressure. I was like, easier said than done, you know?
Yeah, it's your tongue.
It's your tongue. Like, then we just stick it out and then you can't talk. And so I put like, I tried putting just a like face cloth and like kind of biting it on the side of my mouth. So it was gross. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I went all of Wednesday. I didn't eat one thing because I was nervous for one and two, it was painful, right? I took a couple Tylenol and stuff. And then I drank a lot of water, just tried to keep it clean. I did not eat dinner at all. I ate zero food on Wednesday. I think I had, I'm sorry. I tried a bowl of soup for dinner, but I couldn't really, I just had the broth. So went to bed, whatever. Thursday morning, big day, right? Big day. We're going to be in the Nintendo Dads that night. I'm pumped. Not to mention, it was like kind of hard to even talk. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you would sound a little weirder than you did, but
yeah.
It was
worse. Rewind. Wednesday night, I said, I gotta call the doctors. Remember we were talking about this? I said, I gotta call and do like a Zoom call with my doctor. So I did that.
We had to harass you.
You made me do it.
Maybe just me, because I don't think Hambone or Kevin were, had to harass you to call a doctor.
Well, I was, now that I think about this, this would have been Monday night. Irrelevant. I was sending you guys like pictures of my tongue as gross as it was.
Oh yeah.
It was gross. And so I did a telecon or whatever you want to call it, a Zoom call. And she's like, well, the good news is I don't think you need stitches. I was like, okay, I guess that's good. She's like, it's just going to heal itself. It's going to be annoying. I'm like, yeah, it is annoying. So that was that. So then Thursday comes by. Like, I haven't eaten in like 40 hours now. Like, I'm hungry, but I'm afraid to eat. Right?
Yeah, understandable.
So then Thursday, I had golf. After golf, I said, well, I'm just going to chug some beers. I had like 4 or 5 beers, and, which again, I haven't been eating anything. So my stomach's empty. And then I was an idiot and I was like, I'm fucking, I'm getting some chicken wings. So I had some chicken wings.
I love how you go from like 0 to chicken wings.
And beer. Like chicken wings, beer, and it was like 80 degrees and sunny for the first time.
Because wouldn't spicy food like hurt a cut on your tongue? Like,
oh yeah, they were like Asian chili flavor too. They weren't like, they were just plain. I know I'm driving this story out. Anyways, so I felt fine. I felt good. So Thursday night podcast comes around again. Starts at 10, way past my bedtime. But I was like, I feel good. I had beers. I had energy. I had some cup of coffee. Tongue was still bothering, but I said, that's all right. So, like, we're at the podcasting, and it's, like, 11:15. I'm just, like, I feel a little, like, lightheaded, nauseous. I kind of have a headache. I think during the Manscaped ad, a lot of us got up and took a break. Right? So I got up.
Yes.
I got up. I took a piss. Washed my face. I took some Tylenol. I was like, all right, re-energize, I feel good. Come back, and I'm like, I may have played it cool, but I was struggling, like super nauseous. Like, I don't know what was wrong with me. So, like, by midnight, I was like, I gotta go. I was like, I don't feel, like, I didn't say that. I just, but in my mind, I was like, I gotta go. As, I'm gonna say, within 60 seconds of me handing up that phone call, John, I was puking my brains out in my bathroom. I gotta go. It wasn't so much me being tired. Something happened. I was not sick. I was super sick. I actually was up until 2:15 throwing up a.m.
Lovely.
And then I would have stayed home from work, but I'm covering for my boss, so I had to be there. So I 5 a.m. my alarm goes off. Actually, that's actually late. I slept in, so I got like 2.5 hours of sleep Friday. Brutal. Went to work exhausted, and then it just like it just continued small things. so then Friday after work, I picked up my daughter. I said, hey, we're gonna go right down the street, we're gonna get like some flowers for the yards, we can plant them.
Wait, before you continue, in the show notes you have a note that says flowers/Applebee's, and I cannot wait to find out how they correlate.
They don't. It probably should have been 2 separate bullets. So the flowers, I get the flowers, whatever. It was like $60 because I bought like 2 trays of flowers to plant. So the guy rings me out credit card and like the receipt prints on his little stupid little handheld thing. And the receipt's blank. And he goes, I don't think it worked. I said, nah. I said, are you sure it just didn't run of ink? He's like, no, it didn't go through. I was like, it sounded and it looked like it went through.
Oh God.
And he goes, no, it didn't go through. Let me do it again. So he does it again. The same thing happens. It prints with nothing on it. I was like, I think you're out of ink there, buddy. He goes, yeah, I think I'm out of ink. I think I just charged you twice. I was like, yeah, I think you did. Can you refund me? He's like, well, why don't you wait a couple days and check your statement?
Oh my God.
So now I'm gonna have to fucking go back there. For my $60, it's like, oh my God, is it even worth it? But I mean, it is, but.
Yeah. Bring back the blank receipt. Hey, I got my receipt.
But then show my credit card statement. And then the last thing that just rounded out my week today. So I went shopping today. I went to the market. And on the way home from the market, there's an Applebee's. So I told the wife, hey, if you want to order Applebee's online, I'll pick it up for lunch. She's like, all right, what do you want? I was like, give me like one of those like Southwest, like just like a bowl, like a little bowl with like rice and stuff and chicken. So I picked it up and it was like a big bag. It had, you know, kids' drinks and stuff. So I bring it home and I'm bringing all the groceries in. And she's like, where's your food? And I'm like, what do you mean? It's in the bag. You ordered it. She's like, no, I think they forgot your food. I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, do you want to go back? She's like, no, I don't want to fucking go back. Like, I'm home. So then I didn't have my lunch, John. It just rounds it up to conclude the week of a long story, but shitty week, John.
Did you order wings from Applebee's? Was that what you were getting?
No, I wish I did.
No.
But what about you? I mean, you've been having a good week at least.
I have had a good week. We did the Nintendo Dads. I did not vomit. I had multiple comments from people while we were recording telling me that I needed to help take care of you, that you looked like you were fading. So I was like,
I was fading.
I've had a good week. I've been working on new technology at work. So I'm
nice.
Pretty happy with my work for the first time in a long time. Nice.
That's good.
I think I've had a good week or so. So, so that's been fun. But your stories have been good. I did pass around your tongue picture to a person or two or three.
It's healed a little bit. It's actually healing. I don't know. It's like shrinking.
We need a new picture.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. I'll get you one.
Okay. I want to compare. I think it'd be good to show the evolution of your tongue. Yeah. You're not the first person to bite half your tongue off. People might need to know.
It's funny. I actually have happen to have my yearly physical tomorrow, and he's going to be like, well, how's it going? I'll be like, fucking threw out my back, bit my tongue off and puked my brains out, but it's been an okay week, doc.
He's like, yeah, I heard your podcast.
I heard you.
All right. Well, we got a fun little mini show tonight, and really, Drew and I just like to talk to each other. So
that's all it is.
We're just going to put it out there anyway. Mm. What have you been playing this week? I know what you've been playing, tell me a little bit about your
Dungeon of Dreadrock.
Now, when we did the Nintendo Dad show on Thursday, you hadn't started it yet.
I have not.
Now it is Sunday evening. And
I'm almost done.
Yeah.
I'm almost done with the game. I was excited for this game because I wanted something to play. I went into it not really fully grasping what it was. I didn't watch any. I'm one of those. I don't ever really watch first looks or gameplay footage. I'm more of a guy that gets sold on a trailer, which is probably the worst thing you can do. But the game was $5. So I was like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the 16-bit style dungeon game. The whole purpose is the story is like every few years, I don't even know, 100 years, kind of browsing over it. A male has to go into this dungeon and they have to like kill the bad guy, and it kind of restores the town and it saves the town for the next 100 years or whatever it is. So the kid has to go in, but the sister of the guy, which very females are not allowed in the dungeon, John.
Big thing. What the fuck?
I know, huh? What the fuck is right? So you play the sister, and you just sneak in anyway because you think your brother's in danger. That's the whole premise of the story. There's 100 floors to the dungeon. You have to get down to the bottom to defeat the bad guy. Simple enough. Every floor of the dungeon is just one screen, right? There's no scroll. It all fits into one screen, which is kind of cool, right? I guess it's okay. It's right. It does not move, like Marty said, to music or the beat of you moving. I can see where he thinks that, because the enemies move very, I don't know, they move kind of in patterns, but not really. It's not like if I move one, they move one. If I move down, they move up.
It's not like Necrodancer or anything.
No, it's not like that. But it is that, you know, left, right, whatever.
Up, down.
Up, down. The craziest thing I've ever seen in any Nintendo Switch video game, this game does not support the Pro Controller. Like, I thought my controller was broken. I thought every controller I owned was out of battery. I was trying to play on the TV, so it was like, what the F? I had to Google it, and it said, oh, there will be an update coming in the future. Like, what? So I legit had to play with a dual Joy-Cons. You can't play one. You have to play both Joy-Cons detached. And here's the thing. So the game itself, it's fine. It's unique. I guess you could say it's fun. It's not completely my style of game, where it's not really a fighting game. It's more of an adventure puzzle game, right? So you have this one screen, this one little dungeon area, and you have to find clues by parchments or taking stuff, reading stuff on the walls, little clues. And the trouble enemies, it's just a puzzle. It's a one screen little puzzle. I was kept hoping that they would change some type of something or mechanic. I mean, you have like a dagger And you pick up a few other items on the way that you consume, right? You don't like upgrades or there's nothing like that. It's just a puzzle game. It's just, it gets also annoying. There's a certain part where there's certain floors now that like you have to go back to the previous floor. Like they intertwine, right? Hmm. So a trap door and a skeleton falls through that trap door. It might now go to the lower one and you need that. So there's stuff like that, that it's such intertwining. I mean, overall, they actually have voice acting in it. The music is actually kind of catchy. But again, it's not really like my type of game. It's just, again, it's a puzzle game. But
so it's more like you, I mean, you thought it was your kind of game, but it's like in playing. Yeah.
Like I said, it's fine. I don't want to say it's terrible. Again, it's just, it's a nice game you'd probably beat in a weekend. Mm. There's some floors that take literally 30 to 60 seconds. And there's some that took me like 8 to 10 minutes that, you know, I had to really think about and try to figure out how am I going to beat this level. And again, then some of them going back and forth. So at the end of the day, the game's fine. I mean, I would never probably give it a high score. I am on like floor 82 around there. So I'm getting close.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Dungeons of Dead Rock. I mean, it's $5 and for another week or so, I think. So if this sounds like your type of game, I'm not going to say it's bad. It's not great. It's definitely not great. But if you like those type of simple puzzles, you know, Zelda-ish type puzzles sometimes with, like, you know, switches and stuff like that. But it's fine. It's okay. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not looking forward to like Dungeon of Dreadrock 2 or anything like that. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
But yeah,
I appreciate the candor. You know, it's funny when I play a game that's just like really, really bad. I have this habit of going online and looking up reviews to see what people say, because a lot of these kinds of games, because they are a little lesser well known, they'll, you know, give codes away, you know, and people will give reviews and then some kind of give these like fluffy reviews. You know, you're getting a code from some independent developer. You don't want to be hurtful on it. It's got an 81 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo Life gave it an 8 out of 10. I mean, it looks like an 8 out of 10 is sort of the consensus. Now, of course, it's different for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give it that high. But again, that's just because it gets a little boring and repetitive for me. But the puzzles do change up enough. And again, no one, I think there's 100. God, I could be wrong. But knowing that's 100 is kind of like, I actually enjoy that I know where the end is rather than not knowing. Right? Because it kind of gives you that little bit of extra motivation. Yeah, I can finish it. It's only 100 floors.
I think, but like in the beginning, that can be a demotivator. It just depends where you are, where you're just like, oh, yeah. I got 100 of these, you know? But once you get to like 80, you like, now you're like, okay, there's 20 more.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah, I kept hoping for like I'm going to enter a new floor and submit something a little different and unique, but it's kind of the same stuff. They introduced some new enemies that, you know, you have to do and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I don't know if you'd like it, but you might. Mm-hmm. It's a puzzle game.
I saw the trailer. The Nintendo account posted the trailer. I think it was the same day as Indie World.
Okay.
And it definitely reeked of one of those trailers that is like trying to be like, you know, like epic trailer music sort of thing. But the gameplay wasn't matching it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I pointed out when they show all the levels, it looks like Ghostbusters from NES when you have to climb that building and there's something like 22 floors and the Ghostbusters walk like snails while the ghosts chase you down. It's like one of the most impossible things to do in a Nintendo game. And I was like, wow, like they were showing it going up, 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 up. And I was like, that looks very monotonous. Why are you showing that? They should never have showed that at all.
Yeah. They show a little cutscene every time you beat a floor. It plays this catchy little jingle and it shows them like entering and then going down those stairs and entering the next one.
Yeah, it's like,
but it's short. It's like 5 to 8 seconds. So it's not bad. It's probably like a loading screen.
But it's like the same thing over and over again. Like,
it's the same thing.
Something funny happens sometimes. You trip on a stair.
You don't do that. I just, some stuff on like the walls and stuff like vines one time. Sometimes they're candles. I mean, they change it up a little bit, but nothing.
Ooh.
Nothing crazy.
All right,
anyways, already too long spent on that. What about you?
I'm continuing to play Persona 5. on my PS5. When I talked about it on Thursday, I kind of said, you know, I've played Persona 4 before. I really loved it. I know these games can be a little slow to start. It's probably why I started Persona 3 and then stopped on my PSP. So I knew going in, I was like, the beginning's gonna be a little bit of painful. It's just so much instruction, and you're getting set up at school, and you're just getting set up with all the mechanics of the game, and it is a lot. And I have in the last couple days finally opened up, and nice. It's really cool. I really like the setup of it this time. In Persona 4, there were, like, if I remember right, about 5 dungeons or so, and you would just go through them again and again and again to grind. If I remember right, it's been a while.
It was
just going through the same dungeons, starting them over. In this one, you go through these palaces that are supposed to represent real world thing, not our real world, but the game's real world stuff. So there's a school, and you are in this palace in this alternate universe, and the volleyball teacher from the school is like the king of the palace. And I won't get into the story of it, but he's an egomaniac and, you know, kind of into abusing kids. So you eventually need to get through the palace and steal the treasure. That's how you defeat a palace. You know, there'd probably be a final boss right there, but you have to steal the treasure. So you were trying to steal the treasure. Now, Persona games work on a clock, not a real-time clock, but an in-game calendar. Oh, and what's cool is they'll say, you need to defeat this palace by, May or April 25th or May 25th. I think May 25th. No, April 29th. So you have to defeat this palace by April 29th. So every given day in the game, you can decide to go fight the palace, or you can go do something else. Maybe go do some shops. You can go study, read a book. You can go running with one of your friends. This is the way Persona games are, and you level up in those ways. I know in the other game, you would go to the mall and stuff like that, and you would bond with those characters. You might say, I'm going to go hang out with this character, and we're going to be more bonded, and we're going to go running around the school, that sort of thing. And the thing I really like about it is you're trying to get to the treasure in the palace, but as you go, you find these safe rooms. They're just checkpoints, but they call them safe rooms. Once you get to a safe room, you can warp there. So you might go through the palace and get to like the third safe room and then decide, that's it. That's all I want to do for today. We're going to leave the palace. I'm going to end the day. But then the next day you can go back and start from that checkpoint.
Sounds complicated.
Or go anywhere else. No, it's actually really simple. But the idea is that you have to ascend this palace. And in a day, you can do a couple of checkpoints, a couple more checkpoints the next day. Maybe the day after that, you just read a book, you know, whatever. But you do need to beat the palace by April 29th. So you can kind of pace yourself. So it's really relaxing. The battling is just turn-based battle stuff. It's very similar in some ways to Shin Megami Tensei 5, which Persona is an offshoot of the Shin Megami Tensei series. But I didn't really feel they were very close based on the games I had played. But man, like, there's a lot of the same enemies in this game. And a lot of like taking two personas and combining them. Maybe that was in Persona 4 and I never knew it, but I'm seeing a lot of very big similarities between those two games playing this one now. So
what's the style of fighting? Like, what's the combat like?
It's just turn-based. Every character has a persona, so it's like this big magical being, and they do your magical attacks. But really, that's all it is. You can do melee attacks, you can do magical attacks, you can use items, and then there's all these other little tweaks that every game has. It has so much style, though. It's just nuts.
It's just turn-based RPG at the end of the day. With a lot of unique stuff, what you just went over, but
a huge level. Amount of veneer. Yeah, it's very stylish.
Okay.
And to the fact that I love, like, when I finish a battle, seeing the animation of Joker running. If you finish the battle just with a regular attack, you'll see the Joker running, which is right out of the Smash game, Smash Brothers, and it's just so cool. I love it. The newest character I have, and she's been there a while, but is character Anne. They call her Anne. I don't know if they pronounce that in Japanese, but her name's Anne.
Okay.
She's like super hot, and her persona, like when they go into this alternate world, they have like costumes on. So that's why Joker has the mask. That's sort of his alternate look. She has like a red leather skin tight outfit with a tail. They call her Panther. Her hair, she's got blonde hair and like her like ponytails off to the side or whatever. And like she's super hot. So every time, and they really do her up. Like if she gets knocked down, like her butt's just flat in the air, her face is in the ground. It's like they really go overboard with her, but it's fairly entertaining. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it. It's if you don't like JRPGs, you would never like this game. You just have to enjoy fighting and grinding and fighting and grinding and progressively leveling up a character. And you could spend a whole day in this game. He's like, I'm just going to go into the palace and I'm just going to grind this palace. I'm not going to try to beat it and just level up.
Look at Dragon Quest.
I love that stuff. Yeah, it's very relaxing in that way. Yep. So, so I'm enjoying it. So I think I'll start enjoying it more and more as we go. I should be able to get past this first palace in the next day. And then I'm looking forward to seeing how the story progresses from there. Cause I've been focused on this volleyball coach for the whole time.
Hmm.
So I'm really interested in see how it goes.
Sweet.
So that's it. And I did finish Life is Strange Two Colors for the third time today. So I don't know if that'll be the last time that I play it, but I had a pretty good ending.
Doubtful.
I haven't played it on PlayStation, but whatever. If I do it, it'll just be for a trophy. I'm like sick of it now. It's three times. And I finally got to my Splatoon 2 Salmon Run. I'm going to be playing
today.
Basically Switch Sports Soccer and Splatoon 2 Salmon Run and just playing match after match after match and trying to rank to the top. That's what I'll be doing for the next week or so.
Nice.
So. Switch Sports is so good. We'll talk about it more next week, but I'm really enjoying it. But for this week, I want to talk about Indie World.
Sure.
When was Indie World? That was Tuesday, right?
I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. When was Indie World?
Wednesday.
All right. So a bunch of games were announced. You on the Nintendo Dad show, I don't want to talk too much about what you said on the Nintendo Dad show because it made me so mad. But we have to talk about it.
I mean, fact was, I gave it an F. I gave it an F for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
F. It failed. One, the production value was terrible. I think it was terrible.
The syncing, right? The lip syncing.
I think the syncing, but I also think it was like had stuff to do with the pacing of it. I think the voiceovers just felt odd and off to me as well. I thought that like the game pacing was really oddly chosen.
Mm.
You know, I always wondered how do they choose which games to give like a 5-minute highlight to, and then games to give like a 5-second scissor reel to. You know, because like Devolver Digital, which is a huge company, had like 5 games displayed here, right?
Yeah.
And then again, I said it in the Nintendo Dads. I just also think that it kind of, it takes away from Nintendo when you're showing a lot of these indie developers. You know, 1 or 2 developers. Listen, I get it. It's an indie world, but when you show this electric game that was a kid's college student project versus a billion-dollar company of Devolver Digital right after each other, it's like, what are you doing? Like, it just seems odd to me. It doesn't match. It's confusing to a consumer. At the same time, like these games look shitty, right? And that's fine. If I believe me, let me be very clear. I'm all for Nintendo supporting these indie developers. I truly, truly am. But I think there's a different avenue than putting it into something that you have 100,000 people. I have no idea how many people watch these things, probably more than that, right? 100,000 people watching this. I think it's odd, you know, and I'm going to also be honest. I don't give two shits about watching a director with crab claws telling me about the development of their game. Just show the fucking trailer.
I've seen this happen on AAA games too. And I agree. I don't understand it. I don't care. I think what happens is when you start I think maybe in the indie worlds, it comes off as a little bit charming. I don't know. Cause it's like you said, if it's a one person thing, we saw the developer of Aleckhead talking.
Yeah.
And this guy did the whole game himself. So you can tell it's this labor of love thing. I don't need to see it, but it's like there's a sweetness to it. But we've seen this from AAA games where, like, especially Ubisoft, they love to do this at Ubisoft. They'll interview a developer who, like, made some, you know, crazy 3D game that we know is just built on Unreal. And they start talking about their life and their influences. And it's like, this is like a zombie shooter. Like stop with it. Yeah. And it is. It's really obnoxious. It sounds like they're just making stuff up. You made a game based on focus testing. What are people into? Shooters? Okay. Mm-hmm. What are people into? Like, sex? Sure. And then you just made a game with that. Like, stop pretending like this is like a big thing. I just don't
ever see that influence my decision on buying or not buying a game or playing one. I just definitely don't. Yeah. Like, I'm either going to play because it looks good or it doesn't look good. So again, was there like tons of games in this direct for me? No, you know, there wasn't a ton, but that's not why I'm giving it an F. All of the other reasons I just said is why I think it failed, right? Besides the point that most of these games don't even come out in the next 6 months. A lot of them are fall 2023, you know, holiday. There's a couple in there that are summer. Don't get me wrong. I bet you 50% come out in the next 6 months, and then 50% of them come out after that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. I can see like four games that say summer 2022. Or no, I see five. I see a handful of like holiday, winter 2022. And then I see some 2023s, which I agree with you, is really weird for indie games.
I agree.
2023 for an indie game. Like,
that's my point. Like, why show that when you have a game, again, not being biased, but I'm being a little biased, like Curse the Golf, which has a summer release. Mm-hmm. And then it shows 5 seconds. Like that's the stuff that's just a little is confusing to me.
Okay. So with Indie Worlds, the one thing that I think we've all sort of seen is if they talk about a game in the past, and I don't remember Curse to Golf, but was Curse to Golf in an Indie World before?
You know, I don't know because I've been following it so closely with releases and their information drops that I can't remember if it was ever in a trailer or, I mean, a director or not. I don't think it was.
I have seen it happen where if they talk about a game in an indie world and then they give an update later, they'll usually drop it in the sizzle reel. They're not going to do it again.
100% agreed with you. But my point is, right, so you have some of these. They did this Another Crab's Treasure. Right? That was a big focus of this direct. 5 to 8 minutes of time. Now, that doesn't come out for 9 months.
Right.
So, Nintendo's never going to show that again, to your point, almost.
Correct. Yeah, you're saying it's better off.
Why show it now?
Yeah. I don't know. I think they do have to decide what are the attention-getting games here. And I wasn't impressed by Another Crab's Treasure at all, but that developer is somewhat known. Mm-hmm. They have to decide... Because it's Indie World, a lot of these games have... Like, people don't care, right? No matter how good indie games are, oftentimes they're totally ignored by the mass market. So they have to figure out like what's going to be good for people. What kinds of people will really like this? Are we looking for certain communities of gamers? And I think they decided that, you know, Digital Devolver, Chucklefish, they want to show their games, even if they're far off, mm-hmm. that they're sort of like what you might call a tentpole game. Now, those games I don't think were tentpole compared to some of the big indies that have been announced in the past. But that I think that's why they're there. The other issue is that with indie games, it is very easy to advertise a game that not everyone's going to like, that a few people are going to like. Even when when you talk to friends about which games did you like in Indie World, some people have completely different games that they're interested in. You're like, oh, I don't give a shit about that game. Whereas AAA games, like, how, you know, you talk about Mario Strikers and whatever, like a lot of people like all of the Nintendo games or, you know, the Bethesda games. They have a big market appeal. Mm-hmm. So you can go through this whole list and not know. And I think that's why I gave it an A- and you gave it an F.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of games. I do want to ask you, though, I still don't understand. Dungeon of Dreadrock is literally a game made by one guy. And you were so excited to download it and play it. And
I just said, I don't give a shit if it's one guy or a team of 100 people, right? If the game looks good to me. But again, I don't need to know. I don't care. I mean, that's not going to change my opinion of the game.
I think with some people it does.
I think that's a problem, right? I think that's everyone nowadays, like, you know, trying to be artsy when you film a movie. And like, who cares? I mean, you know, it's good or it's not.
I agree with you. I'm just saying is I, you know, like there were a lot of stories, right? We had a We Are OFK, which I thought was the worst game in the whole list. It seemed to come from a band, and they were really playing up like, oh, we're a band and we do music together and this and that. And that's like, okay, but what is this game? Like, it doesn't even look like a game.
Did they just slap it together because it sounded cool on paper?
It literally looks like a game where you'll get 30-second cutscenes in between songs.
Mm. Let's talk about some good games, because there was one that we didn't talk about, the Nintendo Dads. I wanted to see what your thoughts were on it. Batora the Lost Haven. Did you look at this one at all? It kind of looks like a solo type Diablo, different little cell shaded. I will say the character looks a lot like the character from like Pine, which
would you stop? How can you possibly reference Pine? That Pine's doesn't look anything. Classic. It looks nothing like Pine.
Oh my god! If you play Pine, I'll play Life is Strange.
I'm not gonna play Pine.
Well, I'm not playing Life is Strange then. Simple as that.
Life is Strange is a decorated game. Pine is like
Pine is a masterpiece. They patched it.
I still don't know how you think this character looks like someone. Anything from Pine? The art, it's completely bizarro.
I'll give you a
second. You know what I'm gonna say though? You know what the graphics reminded me of? Curse of the Dead Gods.
Oh my god, you're right. It does. It's like Curse of the Dead Gods with a female.
I didn't love it, but I think there was a lot of people that did like it. So you think you might give it a try, or
I might give this one a try when it gets closer. I mean, autumn, it's going to be a busy year for us, so I think it's going to depend on where it falls.
Autumn is I hate to say, like, it's so easy to say, oh, it's a bad time of the year to get into games, but there's always a week to play something if you're really
I'll add this onto my list. I'll see how long it takes. But John, one game that me and you both will be playing this winter, Wild Frost.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the screenshots right now. The art style on this game looks fantastic.
Okay, I wanted to talk about that. Because I really did like
the art style. I love this style. Type of, like, I don't even know, almost call it cute. I kind of have a little bit of
dismiss it. I've heard people say it's ugly.
I love it. I kind of have a Flint Hook feel to it, a little bit from an art style.
It's a very Chucklefish art style, let's be honest.
That's you're right. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, Chucklefish art style. Yeah. But I don't know, I'm intrigued by, they showed a couple screenshots of like the town overview.
Uh-huh.
Like, this should be something you can go to the blacksmith or you can upgrade, you know, like in between, because it is a roguelite.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what does that mean, right? Because you think about games like Slay the Spire, right? Because we have to compare it from
We always think about Slay the Spire.
Well, Slay the Spire is pretty independent every run.
Yeah, you don't know what cards you're going to get, yeah.
There's no upgrade in, there's no carryover. It's a straight, you play and that's it.
You unlock cards that you can then find in your deck. But yeah, you start from the beginning every time.
But this seems like there's going to be more permanent upgrades of some sort.
Maybe. I don't know much about it.
Me either, but I'm all in for it.
The thing that I really love about this game is if you look at the cards, they have such personality. Like, I have a feeling it'll be really easy to remember what these cards do without having to read them every time.
Agreed.
I had a big problem with that in Grifflands, but these cards are just brimming with personality.
Yep.
And
I agree. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
This looks good. What else we got? I mean, Gunbrella was obviously probably the biggest hit. Looks fun.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about Silts and some other, and I told you Cedric is really, he heard about that Tabs game, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator.
Oh god.
And he wanted to play it on Game Pass, but on Game Pass it was like an early preview sort of game. So he's really excited about it. So I was like excited to tell him that it's going to be out on Switch.
Oh, nice.
But it doesn't do it for me. But it's like one of those games that you see, these like sandboxy type games that kids really love.
They do. I agree. We're probably not the target audience for that. Because
no, not at all. Not at all. But I thought there were some good games. I'm excited about some of them. Like I said, I think Wild Frost is the big game for me, because that feels like the deep game that could potentially be like the Slay the Spire that I'm always thinking about. It's a it's a lofty kind of goal, but then, you know, games like Lekhead, Gunbrella, Wayward Strand. I'm really interested in Wayward Strand because it looks like it was the real time game where events occur in real time and you play through the timeline multiple times. So, for example, if like somebody dies because they didn't get their medication, 45 minutes in, you can make sure to find the drugs beforehand so you can give it to them and that sort of thing. And it looks like the character keeps a notebook of things she's seen and done. So you can kind of refer to it, and so it'll help you keep track of what you need to do.
Oh my god, these games! I don't know how you
like. Oh, they're interesting. Games. You know what it is? It's like it's different. I'm tired of the same thing. Sometimes if you see a game and you go, "Oh, that game looks like we just did it. Like that looks like a Slay the Spire game or whatever." Sometimes it's nice to say, "Hey, that's unique. I want to try that."
You know, it's funny you say that, because my wife jokes me all the time and says, I was like, "Oh, I got a new game. I'm excited to play it tonight." She goes, "It looks like every other game you play."
You do play a lot of those games.
Even Wild Gun Cat that I just played, The Curse of Gods. Like, both of those are that's what I play.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, every game you play looks the same. Mm-hmm. I'm like, "No, they're so different. This is, you know." But you're right. Maybe I need. And then, like I said, every once in a while, I'll throw some massive RPG in. Which I do. I haven't played one in a while.
A lot of times that's just a time thing, right? Like, I would play more, but I
mean, me too.
Like I'm playing Persona 5 and it's going to take me forever and I'm really hesitant, but it's probably going to be the only massive RPG I play.
It's a month away from Strikers, so I don't have to fill the gap somehow.
When you play Strikers, you're like, wife going to say, "Okay, that's a little bit different now."
Oh yeah, because the kids will want to watch me and stuff like that.
Right. I can't wait for that. The funny thing is, that's what I thought about Card Shark when they advertised that. Do you realize that was like almost 2 years ago that we first saw Card Shark?
That game looks odd too.
It looked different because they were talking about it like cheating at cards and all that jazz. And they put out the demo and I did a 30-second review on it. And I talked to some other people. I was having a conversation with Fartsy last night and we both agreed, like, the demo makes us less likely to want to play it. Right? Like, demos should not make you less likely. If that game would have just came out yesterday, I probably would have just bought it. The demo now makes me go, I don't know if I'm going to buy it. And if I do, I'm going to wait till it's like a huge sale. Yeah. Because it was really just that learning how to cheat on cards is sort of like a mini game. And there's like 28 tricks you're going to learn. They show you up front. There's 28 tricks. And man, it's a game where you have to have constant attention on the screen, because if your attention wavers a little bit, you fail. Okay. And you got to start everything again. So I feel like I'm less likely to buy it now.
Interesting. But
bad demo.
I mean, that's it. I mean, those are the big ones. I mean, Cult of the Lamb, people are talking about, but I think that's just maybe the uniqueness. And I think that was that one Devolver as well?
That is definitely Devolver, yeah.
Yeah. Interest there, or maybe wait and see?
You know, I'm usually interested in Devolver games because they actually do seem to publish kind of different kinds of games. They always kind of go with some unique thing. I don't know if it's something intentional they do, but there's always some quirk to their games. I wouldn't say that one caught my attention, though.
No.
But we'll see. As it gets closer, maybe. I mean, with a lot of these games, you know, I'm not totally sure, but but there was a lot of interesting games. I really do. I wish they just did, one last thing and put a game with some oomph to it. And I know in the past we've got like Into the Breach was a final game in one indie world, which didn't really, it's funny, it didn't really hit me because I didn't know the developer, and that became I think it's my top five of all time. And we got Oxenfree 2 in one of the indie worlds as a one more thing. And then I think we got Eastward. Remember, we had Eastward as a one more thing. So the game itself may not be a game you're interested in. It may not be a game you heard about or, you know, should be excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still surprised we didn't get a one more thing.
Well, you know what? We get Fall Guys tomorrow. Maybe.
Oh, we're definitely going to. Yeah. Do you think it's going to be released tomorrow? We're definitely going to get an announcement.
Why not put that in there?
I think because that's just something that the Fall Guys people wanted to announce in their own sort of direct.
Plus, they've already announced it once in indie, or maybe not indie, but in a direct.
That's
your earlier point.
I think if they were going to shadow drop it, they might have really wanted to put that in an indie world. But, you know, Fall Guys is doing a big announcement tomorrow. They literally call it the big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo of America has retweeted their announcement of their announcement. So it's set in stone that there's going to be a release date.
I'll tell you what, this would be great timing for me for like a drop this week.
Fall Guys?
Yeah.
You haven't played it yet?
No, I'd be able to be busy for a week or two at least.
It's really fun. It can be really addicting, especially when you start off.
Yeah.
It's one of those online games where if you lose, you can just sort of leave the competition, you know, like Fortnite and a lot of these, and then just get into a new one. And you're like, this time I'm going to win. And it's just repetitive.
And then you just never win.
I never won Fall Guys. I don't know how many times I played, but I never won Fall Guys. And the more people play, the better they're getting. So it gets harder and harder.
So if you get a win quick on Nintendo, everyone's learning to learn.
Especially if they make it that you're only playing people on the Switch.
Mm.
Yeah, you probably should start off with that just to have a better chance. Because they're tough. They're tough in PlayStation. It's a really fun game, though. Yeah, I hope it does come out.
We'll find out. When this is live, we'll know.
Yeah, I hope that really does come out. But yeah, there was one conversation that came up that I just wanted to ask you real quick.
Sure.
That COVID and all the lockdowns and, you know, just in general, the last couple of years has been exceptionally hard on indies, more so than anybody else. And I heard that and I was thinking, actually, I think it's the exact opposite.
When you just said that was going through my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was a conversation and maybe I misheard it, but it was the funny thing is I think indies have it easier. If you're just a guy programming a game in your room,
it shouldn't really affect you.
If anything, you're spending more of your time working on that game, right? Maybe you have a day job.
Unless you're relying on other people for something, right? But still, those people, I 100% agree with you, because you have a bigger company where you have I don't even want to say bigger. If you have a company that requires an office, then that's where it would get complicated.
Motion capture, anything like that, a recording studio
for voice acting. Because if you have an office where you need people to go to during COVID, I get it. Because now there's COVID restrictions. You have to follow state guidelines. You can't get people in the office. Someone gets COVID, they can't come in. You know, I agree. I'm on board from an indie point of view.
Yeah, I would love to see an analysis of indie games versus AAA games that got delayed. Or just affected by COVID. But I do remember, I'm having flashbacks to Triangle Strategy where it was so, it's never been so clear to me listening to the voice acting of Triangle Strategy that these were people that were recording lines in their own house because of the differences in quality and kind of the overall poorness of the vocals. They didn't have a director standing right next to them. They weren't next to other, you know, voice actors. So I think that definitely did affect some of those bigger studios. Do you get the sense that indie games have been delayed more than AAA, or do you think it's been about even?
It's tough because I think that there's so many indie games. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they go under the radar.
Yeah.
Right. Versus these big AAA games. There's so much eyes. There's so much hype that they stick out more, right?
Right.
Sports Story. You know, everyone talks about the Silk Song.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Like those, where are they?
Were you shocked that Sports Story wasn't?
I mean, Golf Story was that was like the first few months Switch got released. No,
Golf Story was very early. Yes,
like that's gonna have been 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So did they? I mean, were they not making a sequel? I don't know. I feel like it has to have been 4 years minimal in the making, if not more.
I think what happens with games. Okay, so it was released September 28th, so about 6 months after launch. I think the way a lot of games are built today is they're not just pre-designed and then implemented, right? People have more visual tools. They do it a little bit more agilely, and they start building systems and they start tweaking them. There's always the famous story about Towerfall and how they were actually intending to build a different game. And they found out that the archery combat was just so fun. So they decided to just make that the game and kind of worked on that. It's quite possible that Sports Story, you know, soon after the success of Golf Story, let's say the beginning of 2018, they started going, let's make a sequel. And they went and they started making probably way more sports. I think they talked about it in the reveal trailer that I think they started adding more than they thought.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different sports in the game. And what happens is they play test it, they get feedback, and they decide, okay, this isn't fun enough. Let's work on this. And I think that's what's happening with Sports Story. I think that's what's happening with Maniko's Night Market. I think that's what's happening with Silk Song. They just keep tweaking it. And the more successful the first game is, the more leeway they have to make the second game. You know?
True.
What about the Celeste? We haven't had a game from the maker of Celeste since Celeste. And that came out, I remember that was January of 2018.
Oh, geez.
And we know what the game is going to be. We've seen the title. I forget what it's called, but we've seen the title. And that hasn't come out because they sold so many copies. They made so much money. They do have leeway to make sure they get this next one right. Because if they put it out a year too early and it gets bad reviews and nobody buys it, it hurts them more. Mm-hmm. So I think Golf Story's success is probably why Sports Story is continuing to work.
Side note, but did you see Ubisoft made some interesting comment the other day about their games, including Rabbids? Something about how they would be out by the end of their physical year, which is technically March.
End of March.
Like, almost like saying it was indirectly delayed till early 2023.
I mean, it's possible, but I think they just look at it as their fiscal year, and obviously, the three games are going to be separated by at least a month each. So,
sure, right. So, I would have to assume one of them is going to be 2022. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what it is.
Ubisoft doesn't strike me as a publisher that like reveals a game, because we've seen Sparks of Hope, but we haven't seen a lot of Sparks of Hope, and we haven't seen it in a long time. We've seen some gameplay.
Did we?
We haven't seen anything in a year.
Yeah, I thought we just saw those trailers that I watched 1,000 times. Maybe we did see gameplay.
And Ubisoft is not a company that's going to be like, okay, here's another trailer and it's out next week.
No, yeah.
They're going to give you like months of...
I love Ubisoft.
I kind of do too. they're one of my favorite big ones, but sometimes they get a little too... They're one of those publishers where you start the game and it's like, log in to Ubinet.
No, you're right. I agree.
Yeah, but their games are fun. I like their South Park RPGs. I like... I like a bunch of their games, but not everything.
Well, that was fun, John. A little unexpected fun episode. Longer as usual than we expected, but that's what we did.
I didn't know you were going to tell me about your tongue for 20 minutes.
Well, I had to.
Next week is our episode 100.
And we still have nothing planned.
I don't know what we're going to... We're not like...
It's not anything. It's just
we've never been a podcast with guests or anything like that. So we might just give more of the same. But I can't believe we're at 100. We've done more than 100 episodes.
Oh, my God. Really, yeah. Think about it. If we counted them all, it'd probably be like 150.
Yeah, we're not counting this one. We're not counting all our little specials and stuff like that. But it's kind of cool that we're doing episode 100. It goes quick.
100.
It does.
Think about it.
We got to think about it. What should we do?
Every time I fart between now and next week, I'm going to record it. And hopefully I'll have 100 farts that I can clip together and play for you.
I might have to miss next week's episode. I might not make it. I didn't know we were doing an episode of Dumbass.
Classic. Oh, John.
Did you see Jackass is on like Netflix? They have Jackass 2.5, Jackass 3.5, and then they have the original movie on there.
You know, I tell you they're making a show?
Yeah. Paramount?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, who knows when that comes out, right? They just mentioned.
I think they just talked about it. So,
do you think it's going to be the normal Jackass cast, or do you think it's going to be like, because they had new people for them the last?
Yeah, movie. I think it'll be a little combo of both. Like, okay. You might not see Johnny Knoxville do a skit for one episode.
Right.
Right, but maybe in the next episode he does too. I think it'll just be random how they. I mean, there might only be four skits an episode.
For like stunts?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah, yeah.
It's stunt. Yeah, whatever.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think Johnny Knoxville has to be involved.
I think he'll be like a host almost, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe do like not stuff that's like intense for his body, but you know, he'll still take like tasers to the face or something like that.
Oh, yeah, no big deal.
They need to stop with the butt stuff, though.
Oh, my God. The butts and penises. Like, come on.
Oh, my God. That last movie was just dongs everywhere.
A lot of dongs.
But they do so much butt stuff. It's like kind of gross. And I mean, I was watching the 2.5D last night, and the half movies are sort of like they're the bad material that didn't make the movie. Yep. But I mean, they were drinking out of cups that were filled with these old guys spit. They were like spitting in a cup, and then they had to come and drink it. And I was like, I didn't think I was going to make it to the bathroom. I was dry heaving.
Oh my God.
Disgusting. They need to stop with that. I can't.
Yeah,
that's
not even funny. That's just,
I want to see them just get hurt. That's what I want to see.
Me too. Me too.
Why can't we just get that?
All right.
That was fun.
That was it. That
Indie
was
good. World. It's an A or an F depending on who you talk to.
That's right.
And if you talk to John, who likes Life is Strange, he says A. And if you talk to Drew, who most definitely does not like that game, it is an F. Don't forget it, Mecca. All right, Drewski.
All righty. Take care.
Have a good night. Peace. Later, dads.
The Dads After Dark Show is part of the Nintendo Dads family of podcasts. You can subscribe to us anywhere podcasts are available, including iTunes, CastBox, Spotify, and Stitcher. Also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Pretty please. Be sure to join us on the Nintendo Dads Discord in our Dads After Dark channels for some naughty After Dark talk. Follow us on Twitter at NDadsAfterDark or email us at DadsAfterDarkShow@gmail.com. And a big thank you to Family Jewels for our show's music. You rock. That's all for tonight. Good night, dads. Sweet dreams.